Good evening. Let's call to order the Arts Commission meeting of October 15th at 7:12 p.m. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. The Arts Commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means a commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, generally referred to as the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Arts Commission agenda. Use the Show Captions button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda or presentation items must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communications. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda item, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the Arts Commission meeting agenda. Please join me in the salute to the flag. Recording officer, may we please have the roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Tikhachenko?
Present.
Vice Chair Philly?
Present.
Chair Veith?
Present.
Commissioner Wright?
Present.
Commissioner Kaufman?
Present.
We have five commissioners present and Council Liaison Chang present as well.
Thank you. Before we move on to our first agenda item, I would like to welcome Council Member Chang, our council liaison to the Arts Commission. Moving to our first item, number 25-0968, Public Art Annual Update. It's my understanding Kristen is going to give an update. Is that correct? Trenton, you both are? You're tag teaming, huh?
Okay. They let us work together, yeah.
Thank you.
They don't put us in separate quarters.
Righty then.
Okay. All right, sorry, let me just cue this up really quick. So good evening, and I'm going to start it once again. It's my favorite presentation to give annually. Chris and I really do enjoy the opportunity to just pause for a moment in preparing the presentation and then sharing it with you about all the great things that this body has done, as well as other some staff and other the council to help just kind of continue the master plan for public art, as well as all the other arts initiatives in the area. So it's just super fun to be able to share these things with everybody. So just, we have two new commissioners. We give this presentation about this time every year. We try around October to just kind of show you, hey, what were the things that you guys approved in the last year? What was the artwork that got installed in the last year? So it really is just kind of like a quick recap on the last 12 months. And then we finish with what we've got coming up ahead. So Chris and I will be going back and forth. So she's up first.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Kristen Dance with the Public Art Program. So I'm gonna start with the art and private development updates. As you know, the municipal code, the zoning code 19.52 requires developers under certain conditions to put a percent towards the art. It's been 1% for a number of years. And in 2020, with the passing of the master plan for public art, it went to 2%. However, we are just now starting to see projects come through that are at that 2% level. So everything at the time that the ordinance was passed in 2020 that was already in process, they were already seeking their entitlements, the developers and property owners, they remained at the 1% valuation. So that's kind of exciting that we're going to start reviewing some projects that are going to be at the higher percentage. So, all right. So this year, we're talking since last October, 2024. So 12 months, we had 4 artworks that were installed through the Art and Private Development Project and 2 projects approved by Arts Commission in that same time period. This one by Intuitive Surgical at 950 Kiefer Road. It's called Continuum by Future Farms. It's valued at $977,645,000, and it was approved by the Arts Commission in February of 2024, and then installed later in December of 2024. And if you haven't been out to see it, it is gorgeous. Starwood Capital Group, or the Treehouse Hotel at 1110 Matilda Avenue. So right where Matilda and 237 meet, there's a hotel out there. And this is by Jason Fan. It's called Spirit Nest. It was approved by the commission in September 2023 and installed in June of 2025. It's actually repurposed eucalyptus limbs from Big Sur, where he lives. When they fall off the trees, he has a permit to go and collect them. And then he makes these huge artworks out of them. This one's actually a smaller artwork. Some of the ones he does are 2 stories, and you can actually climb up in them. They're meant to be like tree houses. It's not. It doesn't like me. There we go. Okay. It wasn't me.
So okay. The next few slides are for the City Lane property downtown. So this one is an exception to most of the private development projects that come through. The ones that you've seen just before this are typically, for lack of a better way, just one-off kind of buildings or properties. Whereas, as you guys know, City Line and downtown was many phases over time. So the artwork has also been proposed and installed over time. And so this past year in Redwood Square, Hunter Properties was also able to commission this artwork. This is Redwood Blue by Mark Hanforth, and it was valued at $223,000. We don't talk like this a lot, as you can tell. We're not in finance. It was approved last April in 2024, and it was installed this past summer. And it's got some great kind of neon LED lights on the inside. It's kind of meant to be a wayfinding space in that Redwood Square area. And then the next one.
And just quickly before we move on, I want to note that Hunter Properties, when we say it's approved in 2024, that was a city council approval. Normally, art and private development projects are approved by the commission directly. So I'm just kind of going over this because we have 2 new council members, commission members, sorry. But so all of these that were downtown were required to have city council approval.
The next Hunter Properties City Line artwork is right on the corner of Washington Avenue in Francis. And so this one was by Camille Henroe. It's called Dropping the Ball. This one was installed actually in January of earlier this year, and it was approved last fall by City Council. The commission for this one was $392,000. And then the third of that will be on Washington and Francis. So this one is a rendering. So this one is currently in fabrication, as the Arts Commission and Council approved it in May, just 6 months ago, 5 months ago. So Sam Falls is working on a piece called Red Dawn that will be installed there. And so we're really excited to see that one come in, and that should be in next year. And then lastly, for the private development projects, so over on Lakeside Drive, Whittick Development, it's the M Social Hotel. So this one was also just brought to the commission recently, so many of you may recall this one. So Lenticular Lens by Ray King. The minimum requirement is $190,000, $832,000. You guys approved this past June, and it's currently in fabrication.
Under the ordinance, the developers and the property owners have the opportunity, if they do not choose to put their artwork on site, they can pay an in-lieu fee here to the city. And that in-lieu fee goes into our public art fund, which we then use for community art projects like utility boxes or the Suns. And so just recently we collected a in-lieu fee from AMD, which happened to be $1.644 million. So we're pretty well funded for the next few years on our community projects. But the money's in these fund, and we're having a lot of conversations right now about what exactly they can be used for. But as a general rule, they have to be directly associated with a public art project because it is in lieu of putting public art on that property. So the current balance right now is approximately $1.75 to $2 million that's in that public art fund. So we're looking forward to spending that.
Nice. Switching a little bit, the art in public places. So this is usually projects that are artworks, excuse me, artworks that are tied to capital projects. So as the city, you know, builds new buildings or renovates parks, we have a 1% requirement to provide on-site also. So we don't just make the private developers do it. We also believe in it also. So this is basically for city-owned projects on city land. So next slide. So here at the Civic Center, we're getting there. The amphitheater, of course, is completed. So that one's outside. You can go see it tonight if you haven't. The lobby niches were also completed a couple of years ago. And so what we're working on now is the rotating sculpture program. They're working on putting the, have they even poured yet? They're close to it, if they haven't yet.
Now that it's raining, it's probably been pushed off to next week.
So the cement pad will be going to be poured soon, which is great, because that means we're that much closer to actually putting the call out. So we're ready to go pretty soon. And that will be a 10-year program that we'll be doing on that site. So it's exciting that there'll be every year some new artwork that will be rotating through this property.
The other big project that we're working on right now is, as you know, the city recently opened a new park, Corn Palace Park. It's on the old lot that it goes up against Lawrence Expressway, and it used to be cornfields and a fruit stand. So there's going to be four pieces of public art at that park. Three benches, three walkway benches, and one seating wall in progress. And they're all in progress right now. So the top set of the top image is the seating wall. So it's several tiles that will go down along this curved seating wall. The other three are the three benches by Zoe Carone, Carrie Lederer, and Liz Hickok. So we're just completing the contracting phase on that and starting the final design and then fabrication. So we're at the moment, we think we're going to be installing sometime between February 1st and April 30th. And then also, as you all know, we just recently completed parts of the Great Box Cover-Up, which is one of our community public art projects that is paid for out of the public art fund, or those in-lieu fees I was talking about a minute ago. Phase one was all downtown boxes, and it was completed. There were 12 boxes completed in the summer of 2022. Phase two, there were 16 boxes completed in the summer of 2023, and they were located elsewhere in the city in residential and industrial areas. And I'm currently working on phase three, which is the high schools. So we have all four high schools that service Sunnyvale residents are involved. And we reserve some of the boxes that we were given to work with, especially for the high school. So to date, Wilcox and King's Academy have both finished their boxes. Fremont and Homestead are still working on designs, and we're just kind of getting restarted on that again. And then our favorite project, everybody's favorite project, Sunflare. As you know, we had 26 suns that were developed by 26 different local artists. They were installed in March of 2025 in 13 parks. There is a map available on the website that you can print out and go to each of the sites. And I actually spoke with a gentleman today who has made that his mission, and he is going around to every park. But he had to contact me because he noticed that one of the pieces was no longer installed at the park. So we did have some vandalism. Lizzie Kramer's piece at Columbia Park has been removed from view at this point in time. The map is updated. The piece is actually in storage at the community center. Parks was nice enough to take it up, out and bring it back and put it in my office while I was out of the office at a conference. But anyway, so we're currently having discussions on what to do with the piece because the damage was pretty extensive. They completely ripped off one of the rays, and we don't think we're going to be able to redo the piece. So we're starting discussions right now, and it's the number one question that I seem to get asked about the suns, and that is, what are you going to do with these things when they're done and they're not on view anymore? Well, we are now starting those discussions because we may have to face that. So we are unfortunately, sadly, down to 25 cents.
So in addition to the art and private development program and the in-lieu fee, as well as the art in public places, there are a number of other community projects and miscellaneous things that the public art team heads up as well. Next slide. One of the things that we do frequently is update our online database. There's just a screenshot in the upper right-hand corner, but that is frequently being updated. As you guys have seen previously, we are very busy, and there are always additions to the website. In addition to additions, there's always new photos to be added. We don't go blanket the entire collection, get all new photos. We do it as a rolling cycle. So as we're getting new photos of new artworks, we will sit down and evaluate, oh, what else is near there that we can also have our photographer do? And so there's always new photos, new times of day, new backgrounds. So we encourage anybody that's fun to spend some time. In addition to this, it's not just city-owned artworks. You can privately submit your own artwork as well. So this is a national, actually it might even be an international website. So it's a great thing to do if you guys travel or go to other areas and want to see artwork near you also. It's the Public Art Archive. And it's a great resource that many people find helpful. One of the other programs which you're doing now is Art in the Park. It's seen featured here in the lower left-hand corner. They're about 3.5-foot canvases that were created by community members. This photo was from last year. If you go out there now, there's a few of them out there, and we've got a few more coming in. So we encourage you to come out. They're down the street over at Washington Park and will be on display through the first week of November. And then one more thing about Hands on the Arts. It's our annual festival. Oh my goodness. Do you even know what number it is? 38 maybe? 40? Wow. So 40 years. So it's City of Sunnyvale's longest lasting special event, and it's kind of the marquee one. So the Public Art Program and the Arts Commission are key supporters and also participants in that event. So that's always been a fan favorite as well, as the commission's always hosted a workshop or an artist booth and had a great time interacting with kids. Some of the other projects we do, like the exhibits program. This one we just started about a year or two ago, and there's two locations that we've got selected. So one is at the Senior Center, down the hallways there. There's two locations at the Senior Center, and then over in the library in the lobby, there's also another space. And so these are continual exhibits that are constantly rotating. We do a call, you know, every year or two for another pool of artists. And there's a, you know, public process, and they're juried. And then those artists are then put on the schedule. And so currently, the current schedule that's going on will run through the end of December 2026. So right now we're hosting 30 local artists, and they each get to display them for about 8 weeks. And so the current ones are going to be on view through October 27th. So you've got about another 2 weeks to go view those. But they're absolutely spectacular. It's a fun way to kind of visit and see some of the other local artwork that they want to show off, that are some of their prized possessions. So it's really fun. We've got Zoe Caron and Jamal Diamond, Sophia Lee, Maria Massey, and so just a number of them that will be there. In addition to that exhibits program, going back to some of the other public things, we're continually updating our online maps. So there's actually four guided walking tours, and then a couple of the location maps that are there. And they're there right for self, self-guided tours, but they are step-by-step. And so as we add new pieces to those maps and those locations, which happens frequently, we also have to update the walking maps as well as when we're adding new streetlights or other things, those all get taken into account. So there are projects that we also stop and pause and double check to make sure that they get updated annually as well, if not more often than that. In addition to those self-guided ones, Kristen has been conducting docent-led tours, which are her. She's the docent. but it's great. She just did one a couple weeks ago, which had one of the highest numbers of attendees, is around 25 to 30, including a few no-shows. So there were a bunch of people that signed up. It really is a lot of fun. It's a great way to meet neighbors, get some exercise, and learn a little bit more about some quirky, fun history in your community, and a little bit about the process of the artwork near you. So if you want to register, they're all free. We try to do them every quarter or so. The summer's a little busier because the weather's nicer, so we try to avoid the winter months. But just go to the City of Sunnyvale website or register through Recreation. So if it has to get moved or changed, you'll get notified also.
Okay, now that we've done all our bragging about all the wonderful things we've done over the last year, yay, team, what's ahead? Well, the Art and Private Development Program is still moving forward. We still have a number of projects that are going on. Currently, there are 8 projects at various stages of the process. So some of them are still seeking their entitlements and still getting permitted. Some of them are beginning design or artist selection. Some are... have already gotten commission approval and they're in fabrication and waiting on installation. And some have installed and they're still kind of finishing up the final elements of their conditions of approval, like registering with the county and putting a plaque in and making sure the piece is lit and verifying their costs so that we know they've spent the full 1% of their requirement. If not, they are required to pay the difference to that public art fund. And I noticed today as I was looking kind of forward and checking out what's coming down, the pipe, I saw 6 more projects that are in the entitlements phase that I wasn't even including in our 8. So we're still pretty busy. There's still lots going on in private development. Okay, so, and in public, doesn't like me again. There we go. Okay, so in the public places program, we have a lot of projects. The city is really doing a lot of internal building. So those are all the municipal projects that the city owns the property for versus the private property. But just to name a few, and these are all, by the way, these are all projects that are project managed from beginning to end by the public art crew. So... me and Trenton. But Civic Center, where, as we talked about earlier, we are still finishing up the third component of that project, which is the rotating sculpture program, Corn Palace Park. The Clean Water Center has come online. The Community Center grounds are under construction. And we are actually meeting next week or the week after, I believe, to jury the locations for the public art for that project. Fire Station 2 has come online. Lakewood Library, the exterior piece is actually in fabrication. The artists are working hard to get that ready to go. And we also will have the interior mural. And then Lakewood Park, Plaza del Sol will have a public art component, and the third phase of the utility box.
All right, so just a little bit more about community center grounds. The property itself, for those of you that haven't been recently, there was an upper pond that had the artwork that was installed in the 80s in it. And it was a lot of granite and cement and other heavy items. So it was not easy to remove and store and keep. But I can tell you that the construction company did an absolutely amazing job. And we have zero complaints about what they did. And so honestly, they took it apart piece by piece, laid it down on site. And then just recently, as you can see here, they brought a crane in. It was about a month ago, and they were able to, same thing, reinstall them piece by piece. So Kristen and I were thoroughly entertained this day, but also holding our breath constantly just to make sure. And they were so great. So we're eternally grateful for them. So there's a quick little video here. It's like 40 seconds or so, just so you can see it flying in the air, and then we'll move on. Yeah, so while it's doing that, I can give some commentary. So the artist Sal Pecoraro unfortunately passed away recently in the past year, so he wasn't able to see his artwork reinstalled, but he was very gracious and came on site before it was taken apart to provide the on-site construction workers more detail about the works. And he had all of that still stored 40 plus years later. So that was actually very helpful, as you can see here. It took literally a whole crew of guys to make sure that things weren't crashing. They literally pieced them in one by one at a time, and then they would fidget and make sure it was properly placed. If anything was off, they would do that, but they took over-the-top calculations and care. So I really did want to make sure we give them their due diligence and kudos to them. It's not common that you can find this level of care from a construction crew that aren't art conservators on their own or art movers. So they did a great job. So we're really proud of that too. So that one's in, but it's still behind the construction fencing. So hopefully in the spring, you guys will be able to come out and see it in its full glory. It did get basically, there's still an upper pond, but it got rotated 90 degrees and a tad smaller. And that's basically to provide more open space up there. You guys will see it. It looks beautiful. I said both. Concrete and marble and granite. Sorry.
The point is that it's very fragile, yeah. Even though it looks like it's very heavy. That was the problem with moving it. So, because it's hollow concrete.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of those, and you can see, and when they're moving, you can even see in those pictures that there's some cracks in it. So they, same thing, they actually packaged them up with plywood, bound it together to make sure that the concrete would stay as one piece. And so they were great. They power washed them before they put them back in. Like, it was great. We're beyond happy with the work. So there is also a public art requirement. I think it's just under $100,000 for new artwork that will be put on site. As Christian mentioned, that that group will start selecting the location and then finalizing that from there. And then the call will be out shortly thereafter. So the new artwork will also be installed next spring also. All right. And now we're happy to answer any questions. And here's some more fun photos.
Is next spring 2026 or 2027?
2026, yeah. So we're being optimistic, but it all depends on rain. So assuming everything goes good, we're looking at May, April. And so we're hoping that we could also host Hands in the Arts there. But same thing, we'll know in another month or two how likely that will be.
Yes. I drove by the Intuitive. I visited the Intuitive site with the
Oh, the continuum piece.
Continuum piece. Mm-hmm. It is stunning.
It is. It really is.
It's better looking in person than it was in the renderings. It is. Actually, it's true to life because it was really amazing in the renderings. But when you see it in person, you really just want to stop and pull over and enjoy it for a moment because it is gorgeous.
Any other comments or questions? Christian, were you going to say something? No? Okay. We're moving on to our next agenda item, which is 25-1006, provide input for annual boards and commission study session. So this is an event that typically the chairs and the vice chairs of boards and commissions are invited to attend. And we sit before city council and we provide our suggestions to council as to what we would like to see happen going forward. One of the suggestions the Arts Commission made last year was to have us be involved in the interview process for new commissioners, and council did not feel that they wanted to do that. But what they did do was they did invite us to share questions, interview questions, which we did. So I'm not sure if you thought the interview questions were hard, our new commissioners, but we were trying. So this meeting will be held in October at the end of this month. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to get, we as in Kat and I, because we will be attending the meeting, your input to what you would like us to share with council. So anybody want to suggest anything that we bring up with council during this meeting? Can't believe you're all so quiet. Well, I have a question for our council member. As I said, typically we have chairs and vice chairs are invited, but I have in the past seen other members of boards and commissions. That would be okay as well, correct? If other members of the commission wanted to attend? Okay, good. But the people that are expected to speak would be the chair and the vice chair typically, right? Okay. Well, no, nothing. So if you think of something after this meeting, if you want to send Laura an email, then she can get it to Kat and myself, and we can make sure that we bring it up. Some other things, just to give you a sense, the bike commission suggested an active transportation manager position be added to city staff. And that actually did happen, and he is in place right now. So these are some of the things that we can suggest. So don't be limited. Just throw out what you think you'd like to see. Okay. Okay, so now we are going to move on to oral communications. This is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda and presentation items. This section is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearing's general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communications. The Arts Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, which is known as the commission subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside the commission subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the commission to conduct its business in a reasonably efficient manner and protect the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of disagreement with the content of their speech. We have one speaker card for a member of the public, Valerie Suarez. You will have 5 minutes to address the commission.
Good evening, Arts Commissioners, Council Member, City Staff. My name is Valerie Suarez. I'm the chair of the neighborhood association called SNAIL. And I am here to talk to you about a request that the community has in relation to the park redesign of Columbia. There we go. Thank you. The Columbia Park, as you may know, is located in the heart of the SNAIL community. And the SNAIL community is bordered on the west by Matilda, in the north by Awani, in the east is Fair Oaks, and in the south is Maud. The SNAIL community was established in 1995. It is a strong community of interest. It has close to 3,000 household, not only apartments, but houses too. We have a senior community. We distribute a newsletter door to door to 1600 homes. In the back of the room, you will have a copy of our newsletter if you want, if you are interested. I've printed the October newsletter. We also have 9 little free libraries in the neighborhood. So a very active neighborhood, especially since this summer, we celebrated our 30th anniversary. And for our 30th anniversary, we had close to 600 people in the street. Here are some of the pictures of the event. We have a live band. And more importantly, we have a mascot, as you can see, our snail mascot. And our neighbors are very creative in assembling snails as a chair dessert for the community. Here are the attendants that we had as with the state elected officials. I want to point out the very last button bullets. In addition to Richard Mellinger, who is our district representative, we had 3 other council members attending. So as you can see, it's a very well-known and well-attended event. We had 4 SNAIL founding members. Again, remember, we were founded in 95. So having some SNAIL members that had founded the organization was really key for us. So what are we coming to see you and to talk to you and ask you to consider to incorporate some SNAIL artwork and SNAIL themed artwork for the remodeling and the redesign of Columbia Park and the playground. So full disclosure, I made a similar presentation last week to the Parks and Recs, except that the following slides were not park related, they were playground related. So we were talking about an arts collections around the world. This is what you can find. I have incorporated in each slide the name of the artist, including their links to the website in case you do want to reach them. Portland, Oregon, a really good, interesting collection of snails. They come in all different shapes and forms and sizes, as you can tell. Traveling to Illinois, traveling to Germany. My favorite one in Switzerland, it's a wonderful fountain. In Italy, they have this unbelievable regenerated plastic pieces of artwork. And every animals, they were all animals, and every animal was in 3 different sizes and in 6 different colors. And they were just scattered all around the world. And unfortunately, you can't really see that little one on the right-hand side, but actually one came to the Bay Area and Golden Gate, close to, with a beautiful picture of the Golden Gate. In China, they actually manufacture these fiberglass snails that are pretty good size. And then if you really want to go and you have a lot of money from what I've heard earlier, you can go with stainless steel or bronze sculptures. So what the snail community is asking, and this is not me, these are collected comments from the kids and from the families. And they are actually asking you to consider incorporating some snail artwork in the community. And some of the ideas were metal or mosaics or sculptures by local artists, potentially some whimsical water fountains. We were talking about, or the kids were talking about benches and sitting benches. I overheard the wall was a really good idea. They would like to have something very interactive with the installation so that the children and the family can go through and play with the exhibit. Of course, we would welcome the collaborations with a local artist or not, city staff, of course, and the design team to explore further creative possibilities. We do envision a space that not only reflects the culture of snails, but also prompts the imagination, inclusivity, and the neighborhood pride. This kind of community, and I'm sorry, I'm just reading just to make sure I use their words, the kind of community-rooted design could help Columbia Park even more vibrant, accessible, and welcoming to all residents, especially the many families and seniors who call District 5 their home. And on that, the community thanks you for your consideration. That's it. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions of Ms. Suarez?
Yes. I wonder, what's the current state of the park? Are there any artwork now, or what shape it is right now?
What shape it is. Unfortunately, the park has been pushed, the remodeling and the upgrade of the park has been pushed over the past few years. There are no art pieces. I heard, sadly, I was devastated to hear that the sun was damaged. So I was even thinking before coming, after I heard your comment, Kristen, I'm thinking, well, what kind of strong, solid pieces of artwork could be installed that would not be vandalized? So the answer is no. It's a very old playground. It's a very old park. The interesting thing about this park is that it is school and park. So it's a school playground as well as a park.
Is it slated to be renewed?
It is. It was slated for 27. It's been pushed to 26. And it is in the works, or it's in the preparation. It's been budgeted.
Okay. Do we know, the city staff, if there's any artwork that's in the budget to be included in there already?
No. I haven't heard anything about it yet. A lot of it will depend on how the renovation is structured, and if it's all turf, then it probably will not trigger public art. So we have to remain. We just have to wait and see. But yeah, but let's hope that there will be an opportunity for it, and we do have the public art fund also. So there is always a possibility, but I think, when did you say it seems like it's still a little ways down the line. So we just don't have all the information yet. I think Valerie knows more than we do.
Yeah. Valerie might know more. I only know that I know the playground is getting replaced, but that wouldn't trigger the public art requirement. That's more just like, you know, piece of equipment. So it's not a renovation, but when the park does a renovation, or if there's some major renovation to that pool, I don't even know if the pool would qualify, to be honest with you. It's kind of a tricky spot. Yeah.
Right. So I'm just wondering, what would the process be if they're, you know, they are strongly identified as snail throughout the whole city. And even if some of the playground, which I understand is outside the purview of this commission, but just for a point of understanding, if they were to say, as a community, we would like for some of the playground to represent mm-hmm. snails. And if you have like a toddler area, it would be nice to have little climbing structures that were snails. Is there an opportunity for public input for that? And then also in the park, you know, doing some sort of structures that represent snails. Like how does that happen?
Yeah, I'll let Jesus chime in 1 second, but just really quickly. Yeah, it's a parks-led project, so I don't have all of the information about when those opportunities would be available. like in terms of the playground itself, right, there's themes to each of the parks.
Right.
And so I don't know if the snail theme aligns with the Columbia, whatever is designated for that location either. So I think more conversations need to be had.
So this is why I presented at Parks and Recs, last Wednesday. And I followed up with Tim Kirby, who said that apparently they've already identified the company that's going to be providing the playground. We had identified in the slide, I can easily send them to you, Jesus, if you wish, but we had identified snail climbing structures and swing sets and different things. What for me is, and I was thinking about it this afternoon, what is really sad is that the snail community was not called, told, and shared that this particular project was on its way. And therefore, we may have missed the boat, and I'm not going to share with you how I feel about this.
This could be an opportunity for the Arts Commission to work in conjunction with parks.
So when this came up, sorry, Jesus Fregosa, Deputy Director of Recreation Services. So when this came up at the Parks and Recreation Commission, Jim Stark, who is the Deputy Director of Parks, he let us know that for a project of this size, typically it doesn't go out for public outreach. It's a playground and an equipment thing. There is some, I believe he said there might be some room for the community to let parks know, let DPW know that this is what they desire in terms of the design and concept. But it's not something that is typically taken to the community and having a robust outreach if we're doing a project of this size. So, could there be maybe something we can talk about in terms of art being out there that can identify and be a snail? I don't know. You know, we would have to have those conversations internally and see if that's something that we can potentially ask for. But that is one of the reasons why it didn't get out there. But I don't think that they're, as far as I understand, and I can definitely follow up, but I don't think that they're locked into any pieces of equipment. So that's why I believe Jim said that there still might be a way for them to hear it and then see if they can do anything about it. You know, is it too late? Not sure, but it's something that we can follow up with parks about.
It could be kind of cool to have slides that are snails. The money for artwork for the park itself could come from the fund that you were just talking about if it was decided to put artwork. Is that a possibility?
It depends, but yes. We recently supplemented the budget for Plaza del Sol, which, as you know, is downtown. It's a very highly visible and a centerpiece of downtown. But again, the renovations that were done, the 1% only amounted to $21,000. There wasn't a lot we could do in a project that size for that amount of money that was going to make a lot of impact. So we did go to City Council and ask if we could supplement the art budget for that. And I also just want to clarify that in all of our public art projects, when we put out the RFQ for the artists, we have the capability of including and directing them in what we would like to see.
Yeah.
And then you as a commission would be reviewing the semifinalists on that too. So again, I don't want to make any promises just yet because we haven't had any internal discussions to try and figure out where we're at or what we can do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are possibilities.
And when you get ready to pick a jury, you could actually reach out to the residents in the snail community, right, to ask them if they would want to sit on the jury. And then based on their recommendations, it would come to us. And then would it need to go to council? And I know I'm projecting way out.
Yes, it would go to council. Anything that we use public funding for goes to council. Okay. What was the first part of your question you just asked, though?
The first part was having members of the snail community on the jury.
That's a standard practice that we do for every jury we form. We pull people from the neighborhood. Or that have, it's a combination of project people that have worked on the project, the team, architects to landscape architects to the project managers to arts commissioners, even depending upon the project. But we always pull residents.
So then our recommendations would go to council, and they, as in some cases in the past, would have final final vote. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. I have a question. Please go ahead.
Sorry, Jesus, just for understanding, you said that it would be, the project would be discussed internally before it could move forward, and that internally is internally city staff, not internally within the Arts Commission. Is that correct?
Yeah, if we're talking about, so there's probably two right now, two things that we're kind of that we're asking about, right? So the first one is there anything that maybe the Arts Commission can do, or we can do in the public arts sector that can have some sort of snail representation? So I think Kristen outlined what we potentially can do in that realm, which would then be under this commission's purview. But the other part of that question is, if we're talking about the playground equipment itself, then that would not be discussed here. This is not the purview of arts. It would, I don't even think that we would talk about it in PNR commission necessarily. So when I say staff, I'm talking about the Department of Public Works and the Parks Division in particular. I think it probably goes to the engineers, and the engineers work with the contractors who won the job, right? So that's what I mean by city staff would have to discuss that. So if we're talking about equipment and implementation of equipment and purchasing slides and swings and all that kind of cool stuff that looks like snails, then that would be that conversation would have to take place with the Department of Public Works and their engineers and parks to see if we can have any sort of influence on that. But again, it wouldn't be this commission that would do that.
Okay, so the internal discussion was referencing internally within the Arts Commission to discuss public art within that location that could possibly reference snails.
If we're talking about public art, I would look to Kristen to lead whatever art pieces and the jurying and the things that we would do to make all that happen. And then whenever it is appropriate for commission to come into that, then commission would come into that. But I'm sure Kristen's going to need some time to think that through, think about, what is possible, right? And then she can bring it back to this commission. So staff have to talk on about that part before we can bring it back to you. Does that make it a little clearer?
Yes, but I guess maybe more what I'm asking is if, what would be the process for the commission to begin the process? Sorry, jet lag is setting in. To begin the process of undertaking a project of providing this snail community with some sort of art that was snail based, using the arts funds.
So again, until the project is brought forward to us, we really don't know what we're working with. A lot will depend on what the overall project includes and what they're renovating and whether or not that triggers public art monies. Not everything that goes on in the construction triggers public art. So we would have to wait for that. But certainly we now have noted that that's something that particular neighborhood is interested in. And so it's really about us keeping that in mind as we move forward and we find out more about the project.
So my confusion perhaps is because I'm not necessarily asking about the construction and the public art money, but the idea that the city has now, $1.7 million in a fund for art And is that the funds that can be used to create art for this community?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, it definitely could be. So from there, the next question is, well, how do you get it? And that's where it just gets thrown into the pot with all the other projects that people have also suggested. So this could definitely get added to that list, and then it could be considered by the public in this group to figure out future projects. The timing of that, though, unfortunately probably won't align. The capital project might happen first, in that we've got another round of utility boxes to finish, and we've already identified murals, small-scale murals, and artistic benches as the next two projects. So we've got those to finish first, and then we can take on another new project, which may or may not be something like this. So we're a few years out. We'll do a public survey, and that'll be an opportunity to kind of make sure it officially gets on the list. And so that's will be an opportunity for everybody in the public to kind of throw some ideas out. And that's under our current process, right? This is all that what we established in the master plan from 2020. So we're still under that guidance.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any comments or questions? Commissioner Kaufman?
Thank you very much for bringing this to us.
You're very
this
welcome.
Issue. And I hope that we can at some point help.
Thank you.
And get you the snails.
Thank you. Just to conclude, in the back of the room, I have put our new current newsletter with the biggest haunted house in the North Sunnyvale. It's hosted in Snail. And our Little Free Libraries, if you are interested in walking around and finding the Little Free Libraries in Snail, and a gift, little keychain with a snail. Thank you.
I too would like to thank you, Ms. Soares, for bringing this up. And I'm sure that with the enthusiasm that you've heard from the commissioners, that we will probably bring this up again to staff. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Recording officer, is there anyone wishing to speak online? Okay, then I will close public comment. Now we're going to move on to the consent calendar. For members of the public, the consent calendar refers to the Arts Commission minutes from a previous meeting. So I'll go ahead and open public comment on the consent calendar. Recording officer, do we have anyone wishing to speak?
No, we do not.
Thank you. Does anyone on the commission want to make a comment about the minutes that we will be reviewing and taking a motion and approving or not approving? Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes for our last meeting?
I move to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
I second.
Commissioner Kaufman? Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Vice Chair Philly?
Yes.
Chair Byth?
Yes.
And Commissioner Tkachenko?
Yes.
The motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. So now we're going to move on, if I have all these papers in the correct order, to non-agenda items and comments that commissioners would like to share with staff and vice versa. So does anyone have anything that they would like to share at this time?
I think we have to.
Did I miss something?
Yeah,
I missed something, right?
The work plan.
I'm sorry. I did miss something. So this work plan that we are looking at right now is in draft form. We will be discussing it this evening, and we can either make a motion to approve it this evening, or we can carry it forward to another meeting. But I have a question. Because it's in draft form, it is subject to change, or is it cast in stone if we make a motion?
If you make, well, it depends on your motion. If you motion to approve, then yeah, it would be final and set in stone.
Okay.
If there's no motion, or if there's some other thing, you know, it needs to come back another month than that. But, you know, hopefully we can do that. If not, we can move it if needed.
The other question that I have is, when does this need to go before council for their final approval?
I believe they get it January or something. Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
We just don't usually typically meet in December.
Right.
And so that's why there's a little bit of a, let's try to get it done tonight if we can. If not, that's okay. We can do it next month too.
Okay. Okay. So does anyone have any comments or questions about the work plan for this year?
I just want to mention that sometimes we do have to move things around. But usually what's on the work plan, we do try to discuss. And the ones in red are, we don't have the dates for those. So I just put them random places and those will change.
And for new commissioners, what we try to do is we try to push as early in the year as possible discussions about Hands on the Arts and also the National Arts and Humanities Month, so that we make sure we have plenty of time for discussion and changing our minds and getting things ready. So that's why you see some of the items in early in the year, and you may wonder why they're so early, but that's the reason.
Okay. I have a question. I have a question, maybe a little bit silly. What year is that? January 21, it's from 2025 or it's from?
It's next year, yeah. 26.
Okay, yeah. Now I see that. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. So currently we have no study issues, correct? We've not put forth any study issues as a commission. Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay.
I mean, I would just suggest that February and March be Hands on the Arts and National Arts and Humanity Month, and both of those months for discussion, as it's, from my experience, we don't get it done. We need a couple, you know, make observations, and then it has to go to the next one.
Yeah, it's a good point.
What would the discussion?
I believe Councilmember Chang has a comment.
Sorry, I also wanted to clarify earlier the discussion about the efficacy for commission meetings. That one is coming to count. The joint session is on November 18th. The one that's coming on October 21st, so the next council meeting, that's actually a study session update on the study issue process. So we're not taking too many new study items at this point because we're actually looking at changing the process. So that last time it came was August 24th, and it was looking at how to streamline the study issue process. So that one's October 21st, and then November 18th is the joint session with the board chairs and vice chairs.
Okay, thank you.
Who's the BLT?
Board of Library Trustees. Sorry, I'm I'll type it out.
No, it's okay.
You hungry?
I'm
Yes, go ahead. One question that I wanted to clarify, I think in 2025, the July meeting was canceled and then the August meeting had the selection of chair and vice chair. Was there a reason why it's suggested that we flip that for 2026?
So I believe that that's when we had it set up. But one thing that you'll find, Commissioner, is that when you guys look at this work plan and you approve it, there might be some change in how we move some of those topics around. New topics can always be introduced later, but whatever ends up in this work plan must be done in 2026. So if let's say, for instance, July 15th, the only thing that's in July 15th Arts Commission meeting is to select the chair and vice chair, we might move that to a different month just so we can ensure that that meeting has a fair amount of business to conduct. Otherwise, we'd come in here, we'd call to order, we'd say yes, you know, these are the chair and the vice chair, and then we'd pretty much close the meeting. So it would be like a 15-minute commission meeting. So sometimes we do make those types of changes to make another meeting a little more robust.
Any other questions or comments? Then I would like to make a motion that we approve the work plan with the ability to make changes as needed throughout the year.
I second that.
Any discussion on that motion? Recording officer, could you take a vote, please?
Commissioner Tkachenko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Philly?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Commissioner Kaufman?
Yes.
Chair Vice?
Yes.
The motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. So am I going to miss anything else if I say now we're going to move on to the non-agenda items? We're good? Okay. So moving on to non-agenda items and comments, does anyone have anything that they would like to share either as commissioners or staff? Oh, yes, please.
And I neglected to bring the magazine in with me, but I do have a copy of the magazine for you, Kristen. For the Silicon Valley magazine, the October issue, they highlighted the city of Sunnyvale in the issue, which is very exciting. And I was able to connect them up with Kristen to talk about the arts and really highlight the arts in the city of Sunnyvale. Have you seen the issue?
I have not.
Okay, so the digital issue is also available, but there's a quote from me and then they talk about the arts and they highlight a lot of the beautiful artwork in the city. So I thank you very much for helping with that. And I'm just so proud and pleased that Sunnyvale was highlighted in that way. I think it really helps elevate the city and show that, you know, the shining star that we are in Silicon Valley, the heart of Silicon Valley, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I have that in my car.
Great. I can't wait to see it.
So this is a perfect segue to what I was going to say. Or do you want to go first, Kristen?
Well, it's a good segue for what I was going to say.
Go for it. I'll defer to staff.
As long as we're saying Sunnyvale getting a lot of love, a couple weeks back, Trenton and I had the opportunity to attend a conference in Washington, D.C. It was the CODA Summit conference, which is put on by CODA Works, which is an organization that concentrates and has really been building the field of where technology, placemaking, art, and architecture meets. So public art fits right in there. And so we kind of left for the conference thinking, we're going to be the only people from the West Coast probably out there. There was actually a number of people, but what I really wanted to share with you was that we had several shout outs at the conference, four of us. So we got a lot of love, which we were really appreciative of. But there was a fabricator there who was doing a presentation, and they highlighted in their presentation the Steve Galloway piece, which is the big glass piece on Matilda, the old 23andMe building. Gorgeous. So that was in his presentation, as well as the glass piece that was done by Larry Kirkland at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation on Old San Francisco Road. We also had a couple of artists that were there that did art and private development projects here in the city. So that was fun. Catherine Widgery, who we just reviewed not too long ago, she had the piece that's up in the tree. And so that was really fun. I've met her on Zoom and talked to her a few times, but she was at the conference. So I got to meet her there. And then I said, hey, I'm going next week, you know, to go out and check out the site and see how the progress is going. So that was exciting. And then also Charles Gadkin, who did a piece, along the El Camino Real, the metal, on the side of the parking garage, right on El Camino and Pastoria, across from the Department of Public Safety. And they're the little cutouts of the butterflies when you're up close, but from afar, they are apricot trees. And so he was at the conference also. So Sunnyvale was highlighted a few times at the conference, which we were super proud of. We were like, that's us. We're like, look. So that was really fun.
Congratulations.
It's to all of us. I mean, those are projects that you guys approved, the commission approved. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go next. And I was voluntold to attend a meeting. Yes, I was, a couple of weeks ago. Actually, maybe it was, no, it was last week. And it was with Silicon Valley Creates, and they wanted to bring together arts commissioners from various cities in the South Bay. And Trenton asked me if I would represent our commission, which I did. And I have to say, we are, in my opinion, light years ahead of many of the cities in the South Bay. One of the things that came up was our in-lieu fee and the amount of funding that we have for public art. The fact that we have, from city leadership, we have approvals, or we have support for the arts, that we don't have to go out and ask city leadership to support the arts, that's already there. I was able to say, of all the years I've been on the commission, and I joined the commission in 2019, we had one meeting that we canceled because we did not have a quorum, because that was another issue, is being committed to sitting on an arts commission and doing the work. So I felt like we have an abundance of riches in this city, and it was really easy to talk about the city and talk about being an arts commissioner. Some cities, interestingly enough, allow commissioners to sit on the commission for 10 and 15 years. And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. But I like the way that we do it, I think, in Sunnyvale, because we can rotate people with different ideas. So I think it's great. Another thing came up, well, council, how do you interact with council? Well, I got to say that we have a council member at our meeting, you know, and also that our council members are quite approachable, as are staff. So it was easy. So I could sing our praises.
Yeah, and thank you, Chair Veith, for doing that. I did voluntold you, I'll admit. But honestly, as you guys just heard, she was one of the best people to go not only represent Sunnyvale, but to really help the other arts commissioners. Chris and I have been a part of this group for a couple years now. And it really is a great collaborative. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there to help support one another. And so when they asked us, do you know somebody? I'm like, I do. And if she says no, I know somebody else that will do it. So I just want to thank you not only for supporting this, but supporting the greater arts community here in the South Bay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Also, thank you, this love fest that we have going on here. The materials that you gave to me were very, very well received. The master plan is something that our cities that surround us are just now starting to work on, Santa Clara being one. So it was really nice to be able to hand that out and to share that. And they really liked the Suns, and they didn't even know about the Arts and Humanities Month. So it was really nice to be able to say, you know, this is a national event, and we've been doing this for 3 years. So thank you for the handouts. So does anyone else? Oh, yes, Councilmember Chan.
I just wanted to comment that at the State of the City, the Arts Commission really came out in full force, and you had the most of the commissions. There was a bill I was following that I thought might be of interest mm-hmm. to this commission, SB 456. It was signed on Monday, so it would exempt muralists from having contractor licenses.
Yes. That was brought up at the meeting as well. Yes. This is wonderful.
And I have to say, that is really good news, because we did have, that was going to directly affect one of our benches at the Corn Palace Park, as well as the mural at Lakewood was all on hold until we had that legislation signed. Yeah. So yay.
Thank you for sharing that. Yay. Anything else that anyone would like to bring up? Okay, last chance. Okay, the meeting is adjourned at 8:26. Thank you all for attending.